Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Everybody expected Corbin Burnes to sign in Arizona. Wow, that didn't catch anybody off guard. But what didn't surprise people was one day Oscar Hernandez returning to the Dodgers. But we're going to get there later. Brandon Bollinger, it's me, Jesse Rowe. Welcome back. It's Deferred Collusion. Brando, how you doing, buddy? Welcome back. I'm sorry we've been a little late. We took a little Christmas holiday over here, so we're a little late, but happy to be back.
Merry, merry to all, and welcome back. As he said, the man himself, Jesse James Rowe. You're tuned in with your Deferred Collusion boys. We hope everybody's been having a happy and healthy holiday, getting ready for the New Year's around the world. But Jess, we got some new threads for some guys out in the league. We could start off with a big fish in the pond, Corbin Burnes. Rumors had it he was looking at over a $245 million deal, ends up signing with the Desert Snakes, the Arizona Diamondbacks, on a $210 million deal, 6 years with an opt-out after the second year. Jess, tell me how you feel about this.
I mean, obviously, I was shocked. Before we get into it, I just want to remind all of our followers out there to like, subscribe, comment, follow us on all social media platforms. It really helps. So just you know, I don't like shilling myself out like a corporate whore, but that's the company that we work at here. Anyways, this is obviously amazing for Arizona, right? I mean, if I'm a Diamondbacks fan, I have to be incredibly excited about this. They had a year where a lot of people were expecting them to kind of surpass the Padres as like the second fiddle in the West, especially coming off of making that Cinderella run to the World Series in 23. They looked like a team that was, you know, ready to kind of take that next step. And they, I mean, offensively, they were that team. They had the best offense in baseball. I don't remember if they finished with the most runs, but I know that for a big chunk of the year, they were the best offense in baseball.
I think they did.
Yeah, pitching was the issue for this team. And part of that is because of injuries to guys like Eduardo Rodriguez, who was one of their big free agent signing in the offseason, and also signing Jordan Montgomery, who was obviously he was a disaster last year, just a total disaster. But this is like you pair Corbin Burnes with Zach Gallen. This is real deal stuff here. That's a really good one too. That's, you know, maybe they need some bullpen help now to really shore out the pitching, but I think that the Diamondbacks really have hit a home run here, no pun intended. And, man, I mean, I was surprised by the fact that it was only 6 years, especially after Max Fried got 8 from the Yankees, gets more money than Burnes. The two-year opt-out says to me that he's, you know, likely, if he pitches well the next 2 years, if he keeps up what he's been doing, he's probably going to opt out and go for another 6-year deal, and then it's an 8-year deal with essentially more money than free. That's sort of what I think he's doing. But man, hey, good for Arizona, man. They're right there.
Yeah, man. To your point, you know, having that stellar offense last season didn't afford them a pass to the postseason. So you've seen them let Christian Walker and Jock Peterson walk in the offseason to Texas and Houston, respectively.
They both went to Texas.
Yeah, you know, Texas, taxes. They like the desert. They're just like, you know what? I need to head a little further east. But, man, it feels like for 210, what are the Orioles waiting to spend on? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they could have.
Yeah.
Seems like Burnes would have been a good staple for them at 210, you know. But I guess I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Baltimore. That's got to be a little bit of a frustrating sign. I know some of our friends in Boston were a little frustrated about the lack of movement, but did get pick up a good pitcher. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But, Jess, yeah, I'm a little confused. Seemed like Burns was really going to hold out for that big money. Not to say 210 is anything to sneeze at, but it feels like a little bit of an undersell. And now maybe I'm not alone in this, but it did kind of feel like, I don't know, his numbers weren't projecting for what his value was expected to be. I don't know. There was some scary stuff with, I guess scary is relative, but with the strikeout rates dropping, I think, what were we saying? It was 13% over the last couple seasons, like three seasons. Yeah. Something.
2020 was 36.7, and last year is 23.1, and each season since 2020 it has gone down. So
yeah,
he's pitching more to contact, but the ERA has largely stayed pretty elite. So yeah, that is worth noting. Yeah.
So you know he's got that opt out at 2 years. He has an opportunity to kind of go so there to everybody, say no, that's what you're worth because your strikeout rates are going down. You know, maybe he has a Snell season and gets a big payday, but. Good for the Snakes. This is an awesome pickup. And I mean, it makes them right back. Well, does it for you, Jess? Does it make them in the playoff picture for you? Does it supplant them maybe as the number two in the NL West over the Padres?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the real question here is where does this put them in terms of the pecking order in the West? Because I think the Dodgers are obviously going to be the clear favorite. But if you look at Padres, Diamondbacks, you know, what team has the better chance of sort of supplant, you know, beating the Dodgers in the playoffs, I guess would be the question, or just making the playoffs in general. I mean, I think that when you make the World Series an 85 win team that year, I forget how many wins they had, 86, something like that. And then the next year they kind of win the same amount of games.
Yeah.
But then they missed the playoffs. They were sort of in that weird like purgatory place where they're a good team, they're not a great one. They're an incomplete roster. I think this gets them closer to being a more complete roster. Is sort of the important point here. Because it's a little bit of added insurance in case like let's say Brandon Pfaadt takes a step back. Mm-hmm. Jordan Montgomery is a major bounce back candidate here. I mean, the reason why he was so bad last year, I think, is because he had that shortened spring training where he was, you know, training in the Boris camp, the Scott Boris facilities. That's where he did his spring training, got the late contract, essentially didn't have a spring training. And then, you know, he just has the most miserable, horrible season. And the owner of the Diamondbacks is talking shit about him too, basically saying that was a bad deal. I think with a full spring training, he's a definite bounce back candidate, a guy that can eat a lot of innings. And also they signed Eduardo Rodriguez too, who the Dodgers were trying to sign last year.
Yeah.
So this is a good complete rotation with two aces at the front of it. I think that makes them like in terms of like a rotation, they've closed the gap with teams like Philadelphia, with teams like Padres, with teams like the Braves. When Spencer Strider comes back, I don't know yet how it all looks, but yeah, I mean, I think that this team should be considered a definite like I would bet money on stock that they're going to make the playoffs this year. The question is like the bullpen. I think that's going to be. Where we see the true value of this pitching staff, because I think the offense is going to be good. And I know I'm rambling here. They lost Christian Walker, but they went right out and they traded for Josh Naylor. They filled out. They made that
which was super surprising. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I forgot that even in our notes. It happened a couple of days ago. But that I mean another impact bat right in a hole that just opened up. What is interesting to me, I think it's a great move. I think the Diamondbacks are going to be under the radar, like good, like legitimately good. Maybe
I don't know if it's under the radar anymore, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Jess, what is also not so under the radar anymore, the Blue Jays and Giants are still having trouble signing people.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays more so than the Giants, because I guess, you know, they signed Willy Adames this offseason. great pickup. But, you know,
but they lost Snell.
They lost Snell. But, you know, obviously couldn't get Aaron Judge. Shohei was never on the flight to Toronto. So a couple of big blows for a couple of franchises that are pretty storied and, you know, looking to make an impact. It just seems like they keep whiffing on off seasons. And I guess maybe because I'm in the West, I have a little bit more, I have more Giants friends and family like in my periphery. So I kind of feel like I'm a little more up to date with the Giants. I'm like, hey, there's some things brewing. But man, the Blue Jays look kind of like lost. Like they can't, like, are they going to punt on Vlad, that whole baby Jays core, and get nothing out of it? Not even a real playoff run?
Yeah. What? I mean, I think, I guess that can just sort of, it's a natural transition here, because I think that where it became real evident here, I didn't know that they were in on Burns, right? I had no idea that Blue Jays were going to be in on Burns. I knew that the Giants would be. Yeah. Nobody knew the Diamondbacks would be. But with Teoscar Hernandez coming back to the Los Angeles Dodgers, by the way, we're going to, you know, we might as well bury the lead here. Teo is back. He's on a 3-year deal, $66 million. Yeah. So Dodger fans were obviously very excited about that. We wanted him back. He needed to come back. He's a huge part of what the success of last year's team. I think he was one of those guys that was like put us over the top in terms of clutch playoff hitting, which we were kind of missing the past few years. So a huge, huge, huge to keep him. I want to get to his contract a little bit, but the fact is Toronto also offered him a deal and apparently offered him more money. They also apparently offered more money to Corbin Burns, who says that he didn't want to go to Toronto, or apparently the reporting is from Bob Nightingale. Burns didn't want to go to Toronto because of the taxes in Toronto, nor the taxes in California to go to the Giants. That's why he went to Arizona. And now you hear that Teo didn't want to, you know, that he was offered more money by Toronto, elects to take less to stay with the Dodgers. I think that that's less about Toronto and more about the Dodgers, whereas like the Burns offer might be more about Toronto and less about the Diamondbacks, I guess, if that makes sense. So, yeah, it sucks for them because they have a good TV deal where they can make these offers. I mean, the Blue Jays have offered Shohei Ohtani $700 million. They offered Soto $700 million. They offered who else have they made? They made Burns an offer for 200 plus. They made Teo an offer for $70 million, probably. I mean, these are big time, big boy offers that the Blue Jays are putting out there. They literally cannot pay people to take their money.
It's crazy. maybe they're not offering them in U.S. dollars. Maybe it turns out these are all Canadian dollar offers. And they're like, oh man, I can't lose out on that much, Fedia. Come on, por favor.
Big mistake to offer it in loonies and toonies and not. Not the USD. I mean, it sucks for them because this looks like it could be the last year with Vladdy Jr. and Bo Bichette both going to be free agents. That's why I'm saying I think the Blue Jays are a definite candidate for a major blow up this year. Because if they can't, they're desperately trying to sign somebody to pair up with Vladdy and Bo because they want to keep one of those guys. They're running the risk that both of them are walking and they're going to be stuck with George Springer playing into his age 37 season. So it's a weird situation there in Toronto, but let's stick around here for Teoscar Hernandez rejoining the Los Angeles Dodgers. 3 years, $66 million, and yes, folks, $23 million has been deferred over the next, I don't even know how many years, I forgot. Sorry, I didn't do my research on that. But how do they make up for that $23 million deferred, Brandon?
How, dude? Maybe there was a little something underneath the tree after all. Yeah. What's that?
A little $23 million
bonus.
Stocking stuffer signing bonus. Look, for Teoscar.
Is that bad, dude? Oh no, dude. So, a little signing bonus for me, gente. Yeah.
That's how they get around. They get around the deferrals by giving them the signing bonus. It's, you know, sleek, savvy stuff. Of course, you know, baseball fans are getting mad about it again. Teo broke the news himself on his Instagram stories, which was pretty cool. Had a little caption, I'm back. But yeah, let's get into the deferrals here because they're, baseball fans are mad about this. They're obviously, they see this as like a cheat code. And I am understanding of why people are frustrated because of how much money the Dodgers can spend because they have a great TV deal. But what I'm not understanding of is why players are willing to accept deferrals from the Dodgers and not other teams.
Mm.
You have to ask yourself that question.
It's a great question.
Is it, are the Dodgers just like bullying these players into accepting deferrals?
Are they waiving California taxes somehow, Jesse?
Yeah. No, it's more likely that the Dodgers have created a culture where players trust the front office to continue trying to win, and they're willing to take those deferrals in order to win.
Wow.
And yes, they do have a lot of money to spend, but I mean, so do the Yankees, so do the Mets, so do the Diamondbacks have a lot of money to spend, apparently. The Rangers have a ton of money to spend, apparently.
Dude,
Dodgers,
I mean,
are just... They have built a culture of trust with players around the league.
Jesse, it's one of those things where, like, yes, to act like not all, franchises have the same access to money would be...
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Lie, right? But none of these guys are going broke, and none of these guys are taking a loss on the season. Let's just get that out of the way. Small markets are only small markets if your team sucks. Ask the fucking Green Bay Packers, dude. Green Bay, Wisconsin, what are they known for? The fucking Packers, dude. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs, you know? Hey, small market team for the Royals, a dynasty in the NFL. Golden State Warriors, perfect example. Fuck, let's get all the teams out of Oakland, right? Whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I could go on, Milwaukee Bucks, whatever. But, like, my point is, what's the easiest way to expand your team's revenue is to win. So it's either by building a culture, drafting well, developing players well, or signing talent. And God love you if you can do it all, because that's what it seems like the Dodgers have done now for the last decade and a half or so. And it's paying dividends. You're seeing now this culture where winning is above all. We've talked about this before. It starts with a young Clayton Kershaw. Coming out of high school straight into the pros, setting this work ethic tone. Superstars like Mookie and Freddie, now Shohei, not only leading by example in terms of work ethic and performance on the field, but also sacrificing money, right? So that you can have a competitive team now and get paid in the long term. And it's, like you said, Jess, based on trust that your employer is not going to dick you over. Isn't going to just sandbag you out of a contract or bundle you up and package you out for a sweet deal with no consideration to you or your family. We've talked about a little bit with Walker Buehler. We talked off camera, I believe, but about the Dodgers not making the qualifying offer. Or did we say that at the top of the episode?
No, we didn't. We haven't talked about Buehler yet.
We'll just say this, that I know some fans were very disappointed, including us, that we didn't re-sign him. But my point is that I think they didn't extend him a qualifying offer so that they didn't have a draft pick attached to him, which would have hurt his free agency even more.
Yeah.
So good on him for getting the bag. But I think things like that are difficult conversations that after you've had them, both player and agent probably respect your franchise a little bit more. And then that just spreads more good press through a small brother that is professional athletes and in your league. So I know I just rambled there, Jess, so to take a feather out of your cap. But
you're right. But
man.
When they talk about like when the deferrals become this big issue, players themselves agreed to this in the CBA. The players' union wanted this because it's good for the players. Because why would a team, why would a franchise like an ownership group not want to defer money, right? It makes total sense. The Dodgers are doing it. Why wouldn't other teams do it? Because it makes it harder to sell their team. So that's why owners don't want to do it as much, because they want to be able to create value in their team where there's not like money that has to be paid down the line. So the Dodgers are kind of actually hurting themselves in some way in the long run by making these deferrals, which is like literally Jeff Passan put out a tweet talking about how the Diamondbacks back in 2004 had to sell their team partly because the deferrals that they had given out for the contracts that won them a World Series, the deferrals that they had given out were costing them so much money that they had to sell the team kind of at like at certain parts of it were like lower than they wanted to because of those deferrals.
Yeah.
Like they were kind of going broke, and that's an argument against deferrals in some way, but in other ways it won them a World Series and it established them as a brand.
Yes.
And look at what the Dodgers are doing. They're just doing something smarter than other teams. Are they manipulating the system? Yeah, if you want to use that terminology, they're using signing bonuses to get around the CBA and to pay off the money that's being deferred that the player is going to lose kind of in taxes over time, losing inflation over time. I'm sorry. Yeah. So this is beneficial to both parties in some regard, and players have to agree to it. It's like, okay, fine, you want a salary cap, but you're talking about players that wanted this, and the players union is never going to agree to something like a salary cap because it's going to limit the amount of money that they can make in the long run. They're never going to agree to it. You're kind of just crying into nothing at this point. So
just a couple of guys from around the league that Passan included in his tweet that have received deferred money through the years. And that's, you know, everybody's favorite Met, Bobby Bonilla, but the kid himself, Ken Griffey Jr., Francisco Lindor, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, Christian Yelich, just a couple right there to fire off all the deferred money.
Yep.
It's not a big deal. And to act like another team deferring money on contracts is why your team isn't competitive is just nonsense.
Yeah, no, I want to see another team do this, because it's, like, you want to see good teams in baseball. You want to see this happen.
And we're acting like the Dodgers just ran away with the season, right? Riddled with injuries. Didn't know who their fucking pitchers were going to be. You know, had to win in San Diego to force a game 5 in the division series. We're almost 3 years in a row swept out of the playoffs by a division rival. Twice by the Padres. So it's like, you know, those lowly small market Padres, third most expensive payroll in the league last year. I know that they've been pretty quiet in the winter, definitely cutting back payroll, but they also had an all-time attendance record and highest revenue the team's ever had. So, you know, it's almost like winning is good for business. Go figure. But to act like any of these teams are going broke, it's nonsense. Yeah. And Jesse, you raised a really good point about deferred money makes it harder for owners to sell teams and capitalize on these investments, these short-term investments for a lot of them. But
that's just an argument for them to say, like, the only reason why you're in this is to sell the team at some point. And that's why it's like you're kind of highlighting, oh, you're just in this to make money. You're not in this to win, because you don't want to give up deferrals because it's going to hurt your ability to sell. So you're just in this for profit. You don't care about winning. I see. Yeah. So that's why they don't want to do it. So you blame the owners more than blame the players here. Don't blame the players for accepting them. It's like they're doing everything, what they're making the necessary sacrifice to win. We should move on here, but yeah, I don't know. It's continuing to bother me that I'm seeing that. And it's like, maybe it's because I'm a Dodger fan, whatever. Like, yeah, I understand that we make more money and spend more money, but you know, like, fuck you. you're not going to convince these guys who are willing to take it. Like, go talk to Mookie Betts about that. Go talk to Shohei about that. It's like their decision. We had to say goodbye to a Dodger legend, Brandon. Walker Buehler has signed with the Boston Red Sox. He has not come back. You mentioned that the Dodgers did not extend the qualifying offer, and some Dodger fans were confused by that. They kind of, like you said, they kind of did him a solid. He ended up testing the open market. The best he could get was exactly the qualifying offer amount for 1 year. So he essentially accepted the qualifying offer with the Red Sox. You know, good for the Red Sox. I'm happy for them, but I don't think that we should really talk about how this helps the Red Sox. I think we should just sort of talk about what Walker meant to the Dodgers. And I don't think there is a player in baseball history who could have left their team with a better moment than the way Walker Buehler left the team that he was kind of born in.
Yeah,
right? I don't think you can leave a team under better circumstances.
I think if you would have told Walker, if you would have handed him the script the day before he signed with the Dodgers coming out of Vandy, that this is exactly how your career with the Dodgers is going to pan out, I think he takes that pen and signs with a fucking heartbeat, dude.
Yep.
Yep.
The Dodgers do too.
You know, a little arm trouble here, a second Tommy John there, all-star appearance, you know, hero in the postseason, even in a year where he was quote-unquote shit, you know. Went out and kind of found himself for like a week or so there. I forget where he'd went, but just to go work on some stuff right before the postseason, and boy, did it pay off. Jess, what is your, just off the top, favorite Walker Buehler memory from his time as a Dodger?
Okay, well, I think we have to rephrase. I was going to ask you the same question. I think we have to rephrase this question. Other than the final out of the World Series,
yes,
because that has to be my favorite. That's my favorite Dodger moment, maybe ever. And like, you know, but Walker Buehler specifically, that has to be it. So other than that, the one that, like, right now off the top of my head, I don't know if it is. I'd have to go back and look at all of his career. I remember there was a game in Arizona a few years back when he was like a Cy Young candidate. He was like having the best year of his career. It was 2021, the year we lost to the Braves. He was dominating in Arizona and was just pitching a gem. I think he ends up getting pulled in like the eighth inning. He went like 7 1/3 or something like that, 7 2/3. And it was all Dodger fans at Chase Field in Arizona. And they were like cheering. And Buehler walks off the mound and kind of like put his fist up in the air as he was walking out there. It's like a really random memory, but I always remembered that. It was like, that was fucking dope. Like, that was, it was just a really cool, only Walker Buehler had the aura like that of Dodger pitchers. Like, he is aura personified. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he might have pants, like, the most dude. Aura of any pitcher in baseball.
It's those tight pants, dude. That's one of my faves. Man, like, one that jumps out to me, Game 7 of the 2020 championship series against the Braves, just kind of gutting it out. Obviously, that was the game where Justin Turner...
He pitched Game 6.
Game 6, that's right.
That was the game. We were down 3-1. Yeah.
We just needed a fucking to stop the bleeding. Turner makes that insane double play on Austin Riley. So that one sticks out as just like an insanely gutsy performance. But Game 163 against the Rockies in Dodger Stadium, that was just, for me, classic butane. Fuck. That feels like the other day, dude.
Well, that was the game where I remember, like, ESPN and, like, all the reporters were saying, like, today was the moment that Clayton Kershaw passed the torch to Walker Buehler. I remember that was like the narrative back then, was like that now Buehler has kind of, because he was a rookie that year and Kershaw was starting to show some decline, even though he still had like four great seasons after that. But that was like the when Buehler kind of like announced himself, like, oh, he had a great year and he just pitched a fucking gem in a playoff game.
Yeah.
A one-game playoff. Like, that was like his I've arrived moment. That same postseason, by the way, he did lose a game to the Braves where he gave up a grand slam to Ronald Acuna, I believe, in Atlanta. Yeah. But then after that, he fucking dropped dick in those playoffs. He was absolutely disgusting. Who do we play in the NLCS? Against the Brewers. He pitched game seven against the Brewers. I think he only went like four innings, but it was on short rest or something.
It was in 2018, right?
2018. He only went like four innings or something like that, but it was just like, he was awesome. I think he only gave up like a homer to Christian Yelich or something like that. I think that was it. And then game three at home against the Red Sox in the World Series, he went like seven scoreless.
Yeah.
And one run or something like that. Just an unbelievable playoff.
I can't believe it's over, dude. I can't believe it's over.
No. And also 2020 against the Rays, he pitched like six innings with like 11 strikeouts or something like that. Just absolutely shoved. Yeah.
Goodbye, Walker. Goodbye, my friend.
One of my favorite Dodgers of all time. I'm going to miss that guy a lot. Maybe he comes back one day. Probably won't. But you know what, Walker? Doesn't matter, man. You left on perfect terms, Dodger for life. You know what sucks? The only thing that sucks, really sucks about this, Red Sox don't come to Dodger Stadium this year. So he's not going to get the ring ceremony moment this year, which really sucks.
Oh, you know, like, that does suck.
Yeah, like I want, that's what I really want. I want them to like, hey, send Walker to LA for the ring ceremony, Red Sox.
Yeah, let him start a couple days later in the regular season. Yeah. Let him just have the ceremony in LA. Let him wear the Hershiser jersey again.
Yeah.
You know what though? And that I think will be his legacy too, is that he was this generation's bulldog for a Dodger team that I think had been accused of not having like grit for a while. And guys like him, you know, on the player side, Muncy, I think really changed that around, being more of a hard-nosed, fuck you type guy on a star-studded Hollywood kind of team, you know. But we love you, Walker. Nothing but success, and I hope to see you in Dodger Blue again. Two-time world champ, dude. Champs forever, Walker. We love you.
I know. And I'm still mad that the camera wasn't on him at the parade at Dodger Stadium when he gets up on the microphone. He says, fucking world champions, motherfucker. And that's all he says. That was his speech to the fans. That was it. And the camera panned away before when he said it. And he wasn't on camera. Just, I'm still pissed off about that. All right. Man. Walker, we love you, brother. Good luck in Boston. Sean Manea signed with the Mets. I don't want to spend too much time on this. 3 years, $75 million. Kind of just like a good fit. I think that was kind of destined to happen.
He earned it. I think he earned it.
They didn't get Burns. Sean Manea, I mean, is he paid a little too much, you think? $25 million a year, 3 years?
Short answer, I guess. Long answer, I don't fucking know, dude. Miguel Conforto got $17 million from the Dodgers. So like,
yeah, that's true. Good point.
You know what I mean? No, I think it's a good signing. He pitched a gem in the championship series, you know, against the Dodgers. One not so good. But for a guy that reinvented himself, a guy that's been around the league a lot, I think you're going to get, you know, quality, you know, what do you think? Like almost 30 starts from him, you know, in a season?
Yeah, well,
like,
it's possible this is actually a discount if he continues what he was doing.
Exactly.
Because he changed his arm slot a little bit more like Chris Sale, with a little bit more like a dip and dive, like sidearm kind of approach, like really changed his arm angle. And he became super effective, had a great year. And, I mean, if he continues that, this could actually end up being kind of like a discount for them.
So, I agree. So I like it. I think, you know, I kind of have a little extra love, I think, for all these old – I don't want to say old, but ex-Oakland guys. And I kind of love when, you know, one of them finds a home in a new town. So Sean Manea finding a spot at the top of that Mets rotation, now with Juan Soto, Frankie Lindor. We'll see if Polar Pete comes back. I think the Mets were offering him like 3 years, 90, and he's looking somewhere around like 180 to 200 mil. I think a more long-term deal, but that's neither here nor there. Fired up for Sean Manea. Hope to
Is that a good rotation, you think? With Manea, they signed Frankie Montas. They have
Kikuchi, right? Or not usually
no, not Kikuchi. They have, oh my God, Kodai Senga.
Kodai Senga. Yeah, he only pitched one game last year.
But he was good before he got injured. So what do you think? What do you think of this rotation right now?
I think it's a perfectly good rotation that could be better. Say they add a Jack Flaherty, for example. Like, oh, now that's a kind of a deep lineup of, you know, guys that can be pretty deadly. If they would have got Corbin Burns, I would have loved it. But
I thought they were a good fit for Burns.
Yeah, I do too. I really thought that he was going to stay in Baltimore, to be honest with you. I thought that's maybe why we hadn't heard much. Maybe they were just working on something. But yeah, I think it's a good rotation, not a great rotation. I think there's plenty of upside. You know, for example, look at like a Seth Lugo at Kansas City this year. I think Manaea can be better than that, you know, like
yeah.
I think a few guys can, but they don't have that, like, in my opinion, that apparent 1A, right? Like, I don't know. Like, if they would have went out and got Snell, for example, it's like, okay, they got a rotation now. But
right.
Yeah, I like it. But then again, you know, if they're in the running or if they're leading their division, you don't think they're going to make a trade and pick up that ace? Like, I think they're going to be just fine.
I think that that's probably more likely what they're in line to do is, like, especially like, what if like the Padres fall apart and then Dylan Cease becomes available? You know,
that's a really good fit. Yeah,
there's always a chance like that. you know, it's always my only issue with it is, like, I just feel like a guy like Manaea, I think he's really good, but he's a guy that could potentially be like a low 3 ERA guy next year.
Yeah.
But he's also a guy that could be a potential mid 4 ERA guy. You know, you kind of don't know for sure where he's at. So if this year I see him like out the gate, like first half, have like a great first half, then I'm going to feel really, really good about this deal if I'm a Mets fan. And it's only 3 years, whatever. It's kind of tradable if you really need to, but
yeah.
You know, I like it. I mean, it kind of just is a perfect fit for them. Kind of just weird that they gave out that much money to a guy who plays a sport that's dying.
Brandon. Yeah, Jess, I was actually just going to bring that up. You know, some people are saying that within maybe 2 decades that the MLB might fall so far in ratings it'll be below the WNBA. And Jess, that's not a shot at the WNBA, but I don't know. It seems like a silly fucking statement to me. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah, so for people who don't know what we're talking about, Cam Newton, former quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, first overall pick out of Auburn, former MVP of the NFL, has a podcast now where he kind of looks like Sideshow Bob. He has really long dreads and wears a big hat. You know, he's colorful guy. He's got a big personality. So he says some big things sometimes. He has some hot takes. This is arguably one of the worst hot takes of all time, where he said that baseball is a dying sport and will be basically that, like, hockey is going to be bigger, WNBA is going to be bigger. I saw a video from a content creator named Jake Savicki, so I want to give him some credit. And he points out how that each team's salary cap in the WNBA is $1.4 million. There are only – how many teams are in the WNBA? Like 12?
16.
16 teams. So we basically have a total of 16 – just a little over $16 million in salaries around the league. If you did that for the next 20 years, if you added those up for the next 20 years, it wouldn't be worth the same amount as what Juan Soto was just paid for his one contract in baseball.
It's insane, like, dude.
Dude, it's just – come on, man. Like, just – Caitlin Clark is great. She is awesome. I'm actually going to go. Me and my dad we're going to go see an Indiana Fever game this year when they come into town. Like, we're going to go see it. We want to go. We love Caitlin Clark. But, like, that's not enough to put you over the third biggest American sport. It's just not enough. So whatever. It's almost such a stupid take that it's not even worth us talking about. I'm more so concerned with the fact that I saw people agreeing with him.
That's hilarious.
Baseball ratings have gone up the past couple of years. We just had one of the highest rated World Series since 2017. And by the way, it had better ratings than the NBA Finals did.
I believe the NBA is down some like 40-something percent in ratings, just even from like, I think, last season, or 20-something from last season, 40 over the last like 5. Not a big deal. I'm not shitting on other sports, but it's a silly, like, nothing take. Obviously somebody doesn't watch baseball, but to like be even that tapped out of the culture is pretty silly to me. I know some people that have worked with Cam, supposedly great guy, you know, does a lot of work with kids, love all that, but just another foot and mouth moment from a guy who fucking doesn't know what he's talking about. Point to me to a couple $300-something million contracts in the NFL, maybe a couple $700 million contracts in the NFL, and I'll be impressed. But I don't think we're there yet. Baseball is super thriving. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's just. I don't know. Maybe he lost a bunch of money on DraftKings, dude. Fucking on the Yankees this year or something. Who knows? But Cam, we appreciate you. Just do your best to just stay in the fashion lane and leave baseball to the pros like us. A deferred collusion, dude.
Hey,
big baseball guys.
We got to go, but we have some breaking news, Brandon.
Uh-oh.
Just broke. Massive breaking news. Shohei Ohtani is having a baby.
Oh! What, dude?
Shohei Ohtani just posted 45 minutes ago as we started recording. Can't wait. It's a picture of a baby outfit next to Decoy, next to his dog Decoy. It's a little baby outfit. And it says, can't wait for the little rookie to join our family soon.
Oh, my God, dude. Congratulations.
This is adorable. Him and Decoy. Sorry.
Wow.
Him and Decoy.
Wow. Shohei's going to be a big brother, dude. I mean, Shohei. Decoy's going to be a big brother, dude.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Oh, my God. Congratulations. Shohei does it all, dude. He hits leadoff, bats cleanup.
And he's firing good stuff.
Hey,
he's not shooting blanks.
Yeah, guy's throwing heat. It's getting in the dirt, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be a dad, dude. Dodgers fans, congratulations. We're gonna be aunties and uncles.
Yep.
Oh man.
Oh, that kid. Question: is that gonna be the most popular first son in baseball? We've got Freddie Freeman's son, Charlie Freeman. There are some really popular, Nick Castellanos' son is really popular.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. is very popular.
Yeah, right. Do you think this is the most popular kid, baseball son, baseball child of a baseball player? Is this going to be the most popular?
I think it's going to be up there. And I think if that kid is actually a girl and joins the WNBA, well, then I think in about 20 years, the WNBA is going to be fucking way more valuable than the MLB. Dude.
His wife was a basketball player.
Is a basketball player. What, dude?
Oh, dude, this is – Cam Newton was right.
Dude, what did Cam know that we didn't, dude? I got to apologize to Cam. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Story writes itself, man.
Wow.
Hey, this was a fun episode, Brando.
Jess, it's always a pleasure. Yep. If you've made it this far, please do us a favor. Like us. Subscribe to us. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you thought. Share us. Tell your friends. If they like baseball, they might like us. We're chill, guys. We're just deferring some money and colluding with our pals. And guess what? If you're watching, you're our pal. Wink.
Hey, you know what? Deferring money on Christmas. I just had Christmas. I had some gift cards from last year that I got. I just deferred those to my little brother and to a couple of my nieces and nephews. You know what I mean? It's like re-gifting. It's a great idea. Everybody should defer some money. This was a fun episode. Thank you guys so much. And if you want to hear the audio only version, go to Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that stuff too.
We're out there. We love you. And if we don't see you then, we'll see you in the new year.
Arrivederci. Let's go, Shohei. Baby Shohei on the way.